Hi again, everyone. I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means, as usual, I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, this series, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until we've covered off all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 4.2.1, professional collaboration. It's part of Quality Area 4, Staffing Arrangements, and it's the first element of Standard 4.2, Professionalism. The description for this element is: management, educators, and staff work with mutual respect and collaboratively, and challenge and learn from each other, recognizing each other's strengths and skills. Alright, so what's this one all about? Apart from being the element that has the most commas in it, I think, which is a feature of my own writing, so I quite like this one. This one, again, pretty straightforward, as with all the elements in Quality Area 4. We're really getting to some pretty direct areas of practice here. So this one, what this one is telling us is that the research is clear that children learn best and have good well-being outcomes when the adults around them are united and supportive of each other. And it's, you know, that's obvious. If teams aren't working together well, if they aren't engaging in that collaboration, then, you know, the outcomes for children won't be as good. There'll be some educators doing some things and some educators doing other things. This element's really important for me, and this is another one of those ones where I wish I had more than 15 minutes. Rather than saving this recommendation for the end, I might put it in here now. I'd really recommend going and listening to a recent episode of the Early Education Show, episode 102, with Catherine Hayden, who did a fantastic interview with Lisa and Leanne on professional identity. And there's a lot of this standard, in particular, Standard 4.2 and its two elements. There's a lot in there, so I'd really recommend going and listening to that. I had a great time listening to it. But what we know is that this is really about, you know, some of the fundamental ideas about professional identity, professional respect, and obviously professional collaboration in how educators come and work together. As we're going to talk about a bit in Quality Area 5 when we get there, and I know I talked a lot about this in Quality Area 1, you know, the educators are fundamental to the sector. It seems obvious to say, but they are so critical to children's outcomes, and the idea of people coming together is so important and having a shared idea. And we know this is hard. We know this is tricky. People are stressed. People aren't paid a huge amount for this work. They're working shifts. They're working incredibly. The work of early education is incredibly complex and difficult, so it's very easy for the National Quality Standard and for me sitting here behind a microphone to say, you know, people just need to work together. We know that's much harder in practice. So I want to spend a little bit of time in the very short amount of time we have together this week in the in practice section, really trying to at least raise some of those issues and think about how, when we see in practice in services, how those sort of things can be not necessarily overcome, but at least engaged with. All right, so let's think about a few things in practice. So the idea of collaboration is obviously, you know, at a fundamental sort of just definitional level. It's just about people coming together. But coming together for what? So we're getting into this idea that there needs to be kind of a shared goal or a shared vision. I'm not always a huge fan of the word vision. I think it kind of masks some deeper, more complex work. But with the idea that, you know, at a basic level, people are coming into the centre, they're starting their shifts, they're working with young children, with the idea that everyone's there for roughly the same reason. And it can be something as broad as, you know, supporting children's learning and well-being. But often we maybe want to have a bit of a deeper understanding of what that might be. There's obviously a connection here with the service philosophy. There's a connection here with, you know, services policies and procedures and just particular ways the service operates. Every centre should have its own, you know, sort of reason for this group of people to come to, because the community that they're working with is unique and special and amazing for whatever particular reason. So this idea of a shared goal is really, really important, but I do think it's important that it's not just a sort of bland, you know, vision statement or something in inverted commas. You know, this idea that we might have one sentence that tries to, you know, that tries to wrap up what we do, and inevitably that's so hard to get down in one sentence, which means it's masking complexity. And I really dislike that idea of masking complexity. I think we should acknowledge the sector is complex. People need to be supported to do that work better, but I rebel against the idea of making the sector less complex. Children's learning and well-being in the first 5 years is so complex, so the sector should be as well. So the idea, it's not about everyone going, you know, we are all here to make sure children have the best possible experience. That to me, I don't know how you bring people behind that sentence, because everyone will have a different interpretation of what that is. So it's not necessarily a sentence. And I know we love the idea we can just have something on the wall or something in a handbook or something, you know, on the back of the toilet door is a classic one in early childhood centres. You have this one statement that will transform everyone's practice and bring everyone together and make sure they're all working professionally. And I wish that were the case, but I've never really seen that work. What sits behind that statement is far more important. And that's the ideas, the ethos, the professional respect, the professional ethics that sit behind the reason that people are turning up to work every day. And that's more than a statement, that's more than words, that's more than a sentence. But I do think it can be tangible, I think it can be visible. And there is the idea that being child-centered is obviously hugely important, and that it springs from that idea that we're here to support and grow children's learning and well-being. But I do think it's something you can see in centers when teams work together really well. There might be lots of things in the room that demonstrate professional respect and how people work together. Images of educators working alongside each other, or the code of ethics being displayed, but not just displayed, it's engaged with in some way. There might be notes on it, or there might be different parts of the code of ethics pulled out and highlighted in particular spaces. There might be even things like in nursery spaces where there are things around maybe the principles of engaging with really young children who don't have language yet, that's done respectfully and looks different. But it's also, it lives and breathes in educators working together. You see them engaging respectfully with each other, and that's really what comes down to. So the second thing I want to talk about in practice is that where this works is that there's a cultural expectation within the center that collaboration is expected, that it's an expectation of working there, and that it's role modeled by particularly the leaders in the space. And when I get to suggestions for nominated supervisors, I'm going to have a bit to say on that. But it's role modeled by team leaders. Team leaders see themselves as upholders of that idea of collaboration. They work collaboratively with each other, and that's viewed and seen by the rest of the team. But the idea that collaboration is expected, it has to be fundamental. And that really comes into recruitment, induction, bringing new people into the center. And at a really basic level, even if you don't necessarily agree that whether adults get on well with each other has, you know, matters much to the work you do. And look, I'm a bit of an introvert. Whether people like me or not, I'm not that fussed about. But I do always try and be respectful in how I engage with people. But even if you're the kind of person that for whatever reason doesn't believe that, it is a fundamental teaching practice, because children watch and listen. We are role models for children. That's a fundamental part of teaching. Children watch and view us, and we are absolutely crazy if we think children don't know when adults in their space don't get on. Children are usually the first to know, probably before the director, before the assistant director. Children will know when educators in this space don't get on. They are the ultimate fraud spotters. They know when people aren't there for the right reasons, and they know when people aren't getting on. So that idea that, you know, at a fundamental reason, the reason that collaboration and professional respect is so important is that children are watching and listening, and they are deserving of adults who take that respect professionally. And the last thing I want to think about here is, collaboration doesn't mean that everyone has to get on, and it particularly doesn't mean, doesn't have to get on personally. We should always be professionally respectful. No one should ever know whether you like them or not in a work context is my goal or my thinking about how that's being done. But collaboration does not mean that poor performance or questioning performance is not okay. I think we sometimes, when we think about collaboration, we really simplify things down to negative and positive, and that there's negative and positive feedback, and that's as kind of simple as it is. But it's so much more complex than that. Teams that collaborate well successfully have strong and robust processes where people can raise their own questions about their performance, or their performance can be called out in a way that doesn't break people, that doesn't make people feel bad about themselves, that makes them feel disrespected. It's a way where people can be pulled aside and say, hey, that experience didn't go very well. This is critically important. How teams find ways to challenge and lift each other up in respectful ways is so important. And this is really one of those ones where it's so easy for me to say that, and it's so easy for the National Quality Standard to say that, but so much harder in practice where people are working incredibly hard under incredibly difficult circumstances. But What it has to come down to is that that's always done respectfully, and again, that it's role modeled. How are the team leaders calling their own performance out? Are they demonstrating to people when they think something's not gone well, and they go, do you know what, I don't think I did that well myself. Can we have a discussion as a team about different ways that could have worked? It's acknowledging when things aren't happening. And that's really the best advice I can give in this short time frame, is that the leaders in the service need to role model that experience. They need to demonstrate to people because it's really unfair or is seen to be unfair for educators who, you know, are studying their Cert 3 and you know, are kind of the lowest rung of the hierarchy of the center, are being repeatedly called out for performance, but they don't see that happening with the team leaders or with the assistant director and the educational leader and the center director. So starting that with leadership is really important, but it really does come down to how is it being done respectfully. You know, a really simple example, if there's an educator who has, you know, an interaction with a child that's maybe a little bit frustrated, the child isn't harmed, but, you know, is a bit frustrated and maybe is on the verge of being disrespectful, you know, is that educator called out in the middle of the classroom in front of colleagues and educators and children, I should say. That's not fair, and that's not a respectful way to do it. The conversation has to happen, but it should be, you know, with someone pulling that educator aside, maybe taking them out and maybe saying, hey, I can see you're a bit frustrated. You know, is everything okay? Can we talk about what happened there, and is there a different way we could have approached that? It sounds a bit soft and namby-pamby, and again, very simple for me to say here, but there are ways that those things can be done respectfully, and where people feel that, you know, they're not being told they're a bad person. It's just that this particular part of the professional work I was doing didn't quite work very well. Again, really would recommend that we people do a lot more research on this. I can't cover it all in 15 minutes and all. But this is the critical part. This element is so important that it's kind of buried away in Quality Area 4, which we don't think about. But teams of educators coming together really makes the difference for children. So how can we get this right? How can we lead from the top? How can we support people to feel respected and valued? And when there has to be feedback that's maybe not the most positive feedback, how can it be done that leaves people going away going, I'm so glad that person called, I didn't even realize I was doing well, and I feel like I can fix that. That really, that's the key to collaboration. If we can do that, we have teams that are working together really respectfully, and people feel valued and wanting to be coming in and going towards that shared goal, which is the reason for that collaboration. All right, with the clock ticking away, let's have a look at suggestions for nominated supervisors. I've kind of, you know, touched a bit on this, obviously, in practice, but leadership is crucial, and particularly from the nominated supervisor. With a couple of things as well, really thinking about what that shared goal and vision, if that's how you want to describe it, is, and that has to come from the director. Is it real? Is it meaningful? That's so important. Is it something, you know, if it's something we've just found on a Facebook page or we found on an inspirational poster somewhere, I doubt it's going to be meaningful. Is it real? Is it meaningful? Is it achievable? Is it something that isn't this pie in the sky idea that, you know, every child is, you know, a genius and has the strongest mental health in the world by the age of 5? That's not achievable. Is it contextual? Does it fit the particular community you're working in? That's a really important one to think about. What makes this center, this group of children, educators and families, different from the one down the road, from the center down the road or the center in the next suburb? There is something that makes that center unique and different. So the shared goal and vision has to be contextual to that community. And then it's around those leadership expectations, expecting collaboration. And that's also about calling it out when it's not happening, which is hard but important. I'm going to talk a bit about that next week when we look at element 4.2.2, which is professional standards. So I'll probably just leave that there. But expecting collaboration and calling it out when it's not happening. Difficult, tricky, challenging work, lots of conversations with people. Again, wouldn't it be great if we could just put a poster up on the wall or take the team out for bowling once a month and suddenly everyone's working together in a beautiful, lovely way? Again, wish that were true. I've worked in the sector a long time. I know that's not how it works. It's about the work of leadership is lots and lots of sometimes endless conversations with people where you're setting the expectation and then putting guardrails up for people. To go back to the bowling metaphor, you know, you're putting up those things on the side that keep the ball within. People are going to whack against it, and that's you. You need to bring them back into that lane. I do not expect to spend so much time on a bowling metaphor, but there you go. You got it. Expecting collaboration, calling it out when it's not happening. Respectfully, that leaves people feeling valued. All right, really quickly, so a couple of ideas for the quality improvement plan. One goal I would have would be recruitment and induction processes clearly outline how educators are expected to work collaboratively. as a team. I've talked about the importance of recruitment and induction processes before. It's so much better if you can do this from the start. It's so much harder to pull back behavior with educators that's been happening for a long period of time and they've never been called out on. But if it's an expectation from the day they start, or even before, you know, they're in interviews, we should be talking about this. And the second one would be there are regular opportunities for teams to come together and identify, review, and respectfully debate areas of practice. So this is really the idea that, you know, there needs to be spaces away from the stress of classrooms and engagement with children where we can sit and talk about what's happening with classrooms in respectful ways, and that becomes something that people are used to. So calling out particular areas of practice and performance becomes something people are used to, don't feel defensive, don't take it personally, and it's about the whole team coming together for that to be done, and leaders role model how that's done, critically important. All right, another element is out of the way. We're barreling through quality area 4, so thanks for everyone for continuing to listen. Again, just I'll redo that recommendation. These episodes have really lined up quite well. Listen to episode 102 of the Early Education Show if you haven't yet. Really fantastic interview with Catherine Hyden that covers a lot of these elements we're talking about in quality area 4. Really recommend it. We'll be back with the last element of quality area 4 next week, and until then, it's goodbye from me.